I was 18, 17, 18, and every child knew what's going on. It was so horrible those years. Well, when the Russians took the country, the communists came back again. Well, it was just lucky to get out, just lucky. We had a house, well, like this house, so it was just mom and me. They said, no, we're not staying here when the communists come, so we done whatever we could, two coats, and it was in November, and took some food and whatever, mostly jewelry. My mom had some good jewelry. She took the jewelry, hiding wherever we can, and get out. The Germans, they let the people on their boats just to get out with the army. Liepāja. It was the army boat, and they're just down and sleeping on a floor, on a mattress. It was so horrible that you couldn't even. So we took the chance and got to Germany, and then stayed in East Germany, and then the Russians, the communists are coming closer, so we escaping, and we ended in Munich. Well, my father, the Russians, took the Siberia, I went back, and my brother was in the war. He was lucky, he got into the pilot school, into, he wanted to be a pilot, so it was, he didn't have to go to the first grade. He was in the school all those about years, and then he came later. He came in 50, and he went to Yellowknife just to work for a year in the mines, and he retired after 30 years in Yellowknife. They liked it so much, the country. There are two mines. Yeah, one of the mines. You see, the Russians were coming from the Russia closer, and that was as far as... Well, we took the jewelry that Mom had, and it helped us a lot. Anyway, well, we traded for a place to stay, so for food you could trade, you know, jewelry. And the air raids, and at night you just sit and wait what will happen. And I know one night we were so close with my mother, and she was crying. I said, it's okay, you see, we still have some bread here, and we still have something, it's okay. She said, no, but I feel sorry for you. Said, it's your best years, and your... And I left in November, so I didn't have a chance to get my diploma. So, yeah, I wanted to go in nursing. That's when I had my daughter. I said, well, great, well, she said, planning what to do. I said, of course you'll go in nursing. Me, nursing? I hate sick people. I'm not going in nursing. And so she... And I said, well, but I want... Yeah, that's you, but not... We got in a DP camp. It was... DP camp was called... Well, it was in Munich we were in a camp. Just Munich DP camp. It was where the army stayed. It was big. Well, they... There were lots of different, like, from different countries, you know. And so the Latvians were given one building, and like in a room like this was about 5-6 people, you know, with families, and if you're alone you don't get a room, so mom and me, we just had a little corner, well, half of this, like the dining room, just for a bed, and you get your daily soup, and we were happy, at least we got our soup for the day, and we were looked after, and just sit and wait what will happen. No, there was no work, but the Latvians, they organized, there was a choir right away, and there was this and that, and the way, way, you know, kind of energetic and happy to be alive and do something. Well, then it was after the war. We were just waiting what will happen. We were supposed to go back. The Russians came and the communists to the camps and said, people, you have to come back. You have to come back to your own country and everything will be fine. And we just didn't even listen. Some people were even throwing something at them, you know. And so we just wait what will happen here. We can stay in Germany forever. There's so many people, and so and Germans didn't care for us either, you know. They didn't need us. So then came the chance that we could come to Canada or the States or Australia. So we were happy, we registered and we got here. And you had to go through to all your health and your, you know, they were checking you. And some people didn't make it even, you know, their health wasn't good. Or, well, x-rays, you know, maybe they looked on your TBs or, you know, not to bring in. People and people so poor, you know, the food, and we had to beg for food to go out in the country and beg for food. And the chance came, and so we were qualified right away. So we came to Canada and on a ship with a Greek. And we... And the food was so good, you know. I don't know if I would say today, but those days it seemed, oh my gosh, bread. All the bread you want to eat, you can have all the bread. And one day we had at the table, we had a big, big orange. And we said, okay, we go and sit on the deck. It's a nice day and eat our orange. So we went out on the deck. Start to eat, and that orange was so sour we couldn't. It was a grapefruit, and we never had grapefruits in our country. We didn't know it. Oh, the disappointment. And but we were very, very looking forward and happy, you know, that now the life will be better. Halifax. We were taken straight to Montreal, and Montreal was that where there were people divided and. Wherever jobs are needed, we want to stay in Toronto, mostly Latvians, Toronto, but no, they said they don't need any more people, but they need people down here. So there was my mother and Velta and two more, three more Latvian girls. Okay, go to Vermont. Enjoyed looking at the country, and it was in November and cold and snowy, stopped in Winnipeg where it was very cold. But those people, they knew that we're coming. This lady came to pick me up at station, and I was brought to the house. I traveled with Walter Bredenfeld in Edmonton. We were friends, and we came to Edmonton together. That's why we still talk on the phone. I talked the other day with her, and kind of went back to the memory when we came here, and we had to work in a house. We came for 1 year, you know, we have to work domestic, and I was put in a house, and woman and my mother in another, and my mother was very lucky. She worked for that liberal leader those days, Harper Prowse. Then so he was a liberal, and they had a baby, a year-old boy and a nine-year-old girl. And she said, they never called her by first name. Said, Mrs. Irma, Mrs. Irma, they're very polite. You don't have to do anything, just like it would be your own, and just look after the baby. So they're very polite, and so she had it. You know, those days we appreciated that there's no war and that we have... We are fed, we have food, you know, no penny at all, no money at all. But we were kind of and hopeful. We thought, oh, Latvia will be free pretty soon and we'll go back. It can't last forever. The Russians can't stay, you know. I would say we weren't depressed, no, we were kind of, yeah, we're free now. We're free. Well, then it was depressing, you know, then I realized, so here I am now. No language, just a little bit. And I'm a maid, now I have to do what they tell me, and I'm alone, you know, kind of. When you're all together, you kind of feel different, you depend on each other, you have people to talk, but here I am. Well, she was very nice, she understood that. And well, when we had our day off, we all met uptown, and we talked about our lives and so, and... And that was for a year. And after the year, Mrs. Harford, the lady, she said, stay with us, we will like adopt you. You stay with us as a family and stay here in the house. I said, Mrs. Harford, I just can't do that. I will always feel like I have to do the scrubbing and cleaning and I ate in the kitchen, they ate in the living room, I had to bring the food in, you know. I said, but we kept in touch, I went to visit them, and they were very nice people. And it was $30 a month, and she saw that I tried my best, so she gave me 40, and I finished the year, and she paid me 45 a month. And I thought, that's pretty good. So, but we were free after a year. We were free now. Now we can do what we want. So we got a job in a Child's Council hospital. Mom got as a night cook. And I was serving in the dining room. And we thought, what a life now. We lived, we rented a room. It was a Jewish lady, and she was renting her room, sound, just as one bedroom upstairs, and we were so happy, we were so happy. And that's where I met Ilga. And Ilga's dad, oh, he was a lovely person. He was there, and, oh, yes, he was very musical. He was always singing. When he was old, he had a stroke, he couldn't talk, but he could sing. He was singing for the nurse in a hospital. Such a jolly guy. And there's some other Latvian servers, quite a few or so, and we always got together and went, how's the life? Because we came in, I didn't have money for stamps. We didn't have any money at all. So. You know, the Iron Curtain, there's no communication with Latvia. So we were all here, and then we had the Latvians in Edmonton start to get together and so on. When there was a gathering, and this guy came to me, said, did you go to this and this school? I said, yes. He said, I looked at your hair when we had the morning prayers, the whole school. I had blonde, long, long hair. He said, I just looked at your hair. Are you from that school? Yeah, I am. So we start to talk, and so we got married, and it was 55 years. I didn't know in school those days, you know, we didn't talk girls to the boys. Oh, my God, you wouldn't even look. But he said, I could, my eyes was always on your hair. I just looked at you. He was in grade, the last year in school when I started school. So just, yeah, the high school was the last year we graduated. My mom said, you know, you got to have a white dress and veil because your children will want to see you. So we bought the taffeta, which was the cheapest you could get. And my mom made this. We got a sewing machine, an old sewing machine, and she made for me the dress and the veil and so. Quite a few Latvians. Oh, yes, you know, it's our, we organized a little school, and there was a church services, and well, there was only one church, the Latvians. We had about 200 people those days. I had it just the last days, just the last people knew that they'll have to leave the country, and so there was organized, and I had a confirmation. Our confirmation day. And I, of course, didn't have a white dress, but then some people who didn't, then we had in a costume. Yeah, well, my husband was a teacher. He started in Pinneberg in Germany, at the university, and he got some credits, which were, he could finish his education here. So he was a teacher, but in summers, during summers, he worked on cement plants, and he always looked White Avenue. He said, see, I paved White Avenue. Because we were so poor, you know, we looked for jobs wherever we could. We went to get a house, you know, how people start. People said, where did you learn your English? I said, I picked on the street. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I read an awful lot, and I had to read books. At home, it was a rule, we taught Latvian, very important. So one lady, she talked, she was so proud that she's been here so long, and she talked English. When she talked Latvian, she felt so much English, and she said, oh, Latvian is such a small language, she said, I can't, express myself in English. So, but my husband made a point to talk a good Latvian, teach the children proper and good. And you talk Latvian, when it's English, learn a good English in school, and he made it very, well, he was an English teacher. And so he made it clear that it has to be a good English. He wanted to get his degree, and it was so difficult, you know, there's no money and all. So he worked at nights and studied at days, and so he worked at Swift's at the meat plant. He said he had to push those wieners, you know, the big wagons with the wieners. He said, I just grabbed the wieners and ate, and that was my meal for the day. And during the day he went to university, so it was very difficult, but we made it. So. And then we bought our first home when Carl was 6, so it was in 56. We got right across from Westmount School, there's some old little houses. Well, now they're apartments there. And so we got this old little house. I looked in the documents the other day. We paid $1,000 down, I guess, $1,000 down, $500 down. So lots of money. We saved, Mom helped, and we all together. We got that little house, and it was small and dirty, and that's how we got it. And we're scrubbing and being so happy, our old house, and we painted it. And when we sold it, it was made a good sale because we improved the house so much, bought a bigger house. Well, you know, that's how. We thought we can always sell the house. We go back, we can sell the house. But the family needs a house, and we had our son was born, and he said, well, we need a house. So we were young, and those days, I guess everybody would. But then year after year, well, we couldn't until late, and then we were too old to go back. It was a nice neighborhood, very nice neighborhood, and it was a very nice neighbor. So when I came to Calgary here, and Dana said, you know, our next door people are selling their house. So when I knew I had to buy this house, I went back and I told, oh, there's three of my neighbors right away, the Italians, they came, oh, I'll buy your house. And so I didn't have to list even, so they were ready to buy. And because we knew, they knew the house, and we knew each other. It was a very nice. My husband died, they all kind of looked after me. That mean pizzas, well, I'll make you a real pizza, not the one you buy in store, a real Italian pizza. So they're so kind, they're so nice. Oh, I love gardening. The first little house, it had a garden, and it was run down, and there were weeds growing. And so one day I said, no, in spring, he was digging, and I was pulling out the quackgrass, and we had a nice garden. We put in the garden, and oh, see, we don't have to buy. We have our own vegetables now, and appreciate everything what you had. So. Well, the first year he had to teach out in the country in Canyon Creek, oh, up north.
That's far.
It was an awful place. The teacher age was just a shack, and it was so cold, and oh gosh, I thought, it's even worse than in Germany, but it was so awful. But, and my mother stayed in Edmonton, she was working, and so we rented the suite together, and so I was pregnant, and then I just stayed with Mom. I stayed in Edmonton, but he finished the year, and then he got in Rochelle, and well, then it was easy. So he thought for, he took an early retirement because he wanted to write. And when did he retire? Oh my gosh, 15 years ago. In 70s, I guess he retired, end of 70s. Yeah, he just retired, and he wrote. But he knew he has to write. He has to write, and he was writing every 3 minutes what he had, and he just had to. And I said, we'll manage, and the kids were old enough, so I took a job, and I was a clerk here at the Westmount Shopping Center, so we made it. And he bought a house, like a rooming house with little suites, and here we rented those and looked after them, and that helped a lot. And he made money of that. He sold, and then we made money, and so we... Because with teaching, you can't write when teach, it's to the demanding. So, but with the house, so he made it. And
he did lots of poetry.
But I like the beginning, where he introduced you to Latvia. His first was in, let's see, Street Gardener's Woods. Okay, the first was published, it was poetry. In 1958, and then it was novels in 1961. Here are all those ones. I like his poetry. And before he sent in, he wanted to discuss with me, and I said, what can I say? Yeah, but he said, you have that intuition, you can tell me what, just listen. So we talked overall. And this is the Latvian literature that he is in. His writing wasn't so positive, it was the war, and mostly about people. He studied people. It's not easy, you know, it's not easy. There's always critics, and then you have to improve and different. But his poetry was well liked, and free Sunday when his homework was done for school, so he just went to his room, and I kept the kids outside, so, and then he did some writing. Well, he wrote all his life. There wasn't the day I'm starting to write, he was writing. Well, we both did, and then those people in the picture, you know, those, and so we just decided that the kids, some kids wanted to keep the language, some parents, but it somehow didn't work. They're not too interested. We had school for 2 years or so, and then it started again, and it Saturdays they have other things, you know, and you know, it's interesting, out of all those 200 Latvians what we had in Latvia, the young people, what's young now, they're in 50s, 40s. There's only Anna's family, Rudovic's family, Ilga's family, my family, the young people who can talk fluent Latvian. It is sad. Well, my family, my kids talk, they talk Latvian. And Anna comes in, we talk Latvian. But if her husband or the kids are around, of course we talk English. But between us, my son phones from Toronto, and he wouldn't even think talking English to me. You know, we talk Latvian. It's natural to them. So there were times when they were young, they said, oh, let's talk English at home. And so I said, well, you talk good English, learn from school and learn from your friends, but keep the language. So, and when we went to Latvia in 03, I went with my son. He was so proud. Everybody was, and you talk, and you're born in Canada, and you... That made him feel so it was worse. So sometimes I go in the room, and they talk English, and so I didn't press. I just... But I start to talk Latvian, and just so that they change to Latvian. So, and there's a Latvian camp, Sauline, in Toronto. It's still today, and that's where they went. In summers, they went to that camp. Oh, for many years, every summer. And they loved it. They made their friends. Dana still has her girlfriend there, and they still keep in touch. So we had likes, and now I take only this Latvia. Latvia in America, it's called. Well, then you know what's going on about the others and what's happening soon about Latvia, there's lots. stole my husband bought only books. And he translated the Latvian Dainas, 11 volumes. Well, he just wanted to do it, and gradually he did. That was his last. But he finished, he did it. Well, it's not a one person's job, you know. He had a professor who helped, and, you know, who went through, and another one with the language, you know. It's very difficult, those old dinos. But he was... Well, we had like Anna Spence, especially Anna's mother. She was a really admirable woman. She was really a great lady. And her father was too. And then there was this Moses. And we always had somebody. Well, it depends on the family. Some families tried to. They were kind of even proud that they can mix in, and we're Canadians now, and they didn't care about the Latvian culture. They didn't take the books, like we ordered the books from the States, you know, as soon as there's a new book, oh, well, it's in the paper, we have to order right away. And no, some people didn't. It's not that everyone, but I guess most of the Latvians did, the old ones, but... Then it's less and less a young generation, you know, they didn't care as much. And, you know, they go to school here, the school's important, you know. And then they grow in the society and they go away. Well, it is after the communists, you know, when they try so hard now, you know, they... It was a beautiful... visit, you know, to see the country and how they struggle and how poor they've been, you know, and all this, and what have they accomplished already. And they try to keep, they really try, because they have a difficulty with the Russians. They want to, in schools, they want to have the Russian language. Well, they just have to, so they're struggling that way hard. They don't want to have that Russian influence in there, and but they still keep the most is Latvian, so it's not, but there's so many Russians in. I was so deeply touched with everything. We went to see our summer house, it was so beautiful, my relatives are there, and so I was showing Anders my son, said, look at, and here we had the garden, and here was this and this, and so that was it. So it's gone now, so okay. Went to other places, okay. And then we went to Riga, and it was so beautiful in Riga, and then I start to cry. I said, Mom, you see, now you cry when everything's so good. It, you know, it's so emotional. It's very emotional. She's a second cousin, and we stayed with her, and we helped them a lot after the communist days, you know, by sending things over. Our church got involved, and we were sending parcels from the church, and that's what I like to do. And we sent, somehow I found those papers. I said, 1,106 parcels. Well, the people were so poor, some families, you know. So we gathered clothes and we wrote letters to the hospitals if they have, you know, sheets which they don't use, which are still good. And so we're sending, and they were appreciated. And we did for the church, and they wanted it too. So we together, there were two groups, because too much for one, so we just had two groups sending and gathering things and sorting, and my old mother was cleaning the shoes and looking after the shoelaces so that everything is nice and clean, and so we could had our chance to help. We went to Vancouver, and I went to Toronto, and then my husband was invited to Chicago, and so he went more. He was invited as a writer, so bad. It was expensive. We never had much money, you know. Four kids, and education was so important. We wanted all, you know, that they all get a good schooling, which was expensive, and all the lessons that they took. And well, they liked an art. And there was an art teacher, so he was taking. He was Lithuanian, and Shapiro, what was his name? And So the boys took that, and Dinah liked it badly, so she was taking dancing, and she Dinah took music lessons too. We had a piano, and just to play, but she never had. Well, it's not just weaving. I did crochet and knitting, and it's my mother. She was an artist. Mm. She wasn't any graduate artist, but she was a natural artist. So we were drawing the pictures, you know, we're drawing. You can see we make those. No, it's all our own. All our own. I had a store in Ontario. I went to visit Andrews, and he said, oh, there's a little store. Those farmers, they grow the sheep, and they have their wool. They have their own name. They have the philosopher's wool. So we went to see them, and they saw my work, and they asked if I could work for them. So I did. Well, this isn't the best picture. Here's my weave. And we knit a lot. Well, socks I sell even today. You know, people go lots of camping here in Calgary. And it's cold in the mountains. And one day they said, the one lady said, oh, if I could only buy some knitted socks. So Dinah said, well, my mom does talk to her. So since then, I'm selling like in a store. I'm selling socks. And why to give away? I give so much away. So they know and they're happy, they can buy. So you make each strip, it's crocheted, one stitch where you can embroider, and then you make the design and you embroider. He was good at making mittens.
Me? I'm Latvian.
Canadian, yeah. Another cool thing, is Latvian Easter eggs. So we do the Easter eggs, you know, like wrap in onion skins and do that every year, and they love to do that. Onion skins and whatever gives color. There's not many things now. There used to be the in envelopes had a lining and those little tissue papers, you know, to get the color. But now it's only the strips, and you put some grains in and so. And they love to do that.